Good morning, good evening, or good afternoon, and thank you for downloading Monkeys Took My Jetpack issue number 115, wherein we finally are going to finish up Zophor's Game of Troubleshooters, which was last year's holiday special, just in time for this year's holiday special. It's coming up on its heels. I'm going to try my damnedest to get the thing edited and posted by Christmas, which gives me about 5 days. So, yeah, we'll see. But we're not here to talk about that one. We're here to talk about this one. And in this issue, our cast includes Zophor as our illustrious game master, yours truly, Blind Geek, as Calvin, Dirk as Charles, and Manissa as Sally. So, without further ado, grab a cup, bottle, glass, or can of your favorite beverage. Sit back, relax, and enjoy Monkeys Took My Jetpack issue 115, Robot Wrap-Up. Or Robot Wrap-Up, if you prefer.
Troubleshooters, session 5. Where are my dice? Are they still upstairs? Shit, I thought I got my dice back. I'll be right back.
I've decided today I'm not going to talk unless Eric's not here.
He's got a plan.
I'm joking, of course, because obviously we couldn't play the game then. And
tell him to leave every time he wanted to say something.
Yeah. All right, I have returned.
Time to mute.
Yeah.
Okay. What? All right, what the hell? One? Okay, I found the bag with the dice, but it doesn't have the dice anymore. Well, there's one. Come on, where there's one, there's got to be another one. Now I'm holding up the game. Okay, I think these are both 10-siders. We're going to say they are.
You can't just declare.
I can do what I want.
Side dice.
Well, hang on. It looks like it's... Yep, okay, they're both... All right, I now have dice. Yeah. Hey, one time in a Funky Frank game, I was rolling my dice and I did not realize that my dice program had been set to roll, because I'd never changed it, and it was set to do Cartoon Action Hour, which uses 12-sided dice. So while playing Quags, I kept rolling what I thought was a D20 and wondering why I was getting such amazing rolls. Turned out the reason I was getting such amazing rolls was because
you were cheating.
I was cheating, but I wasn't cheating on purpose, so it doesn't count as cheating.
It may not count as cheating, but it also isn't.
Well, no,
still a mistake.
I actually did feel bad about it afterward, but by then the game was already done, and I had already kicked all kinds of ass, so I couldn't really do anything about it.
Forfeit all your victories.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, that was MTMJ number whatever the hell, shady business going down. All right, well, according to this, I have 3 story points, which will now be 5 because of the session refresh. And I took no notes from the last session because the last notes I have are all about her diary that we were reading and the lab in the van and all that good stuff.
Yes, we went to the ball.
Yes.
Took there with an iPad. Familiar-looking lady, it couldn't quite play. Robot was in the lower level in lab 3. You know, just little details like that. We found the scientist, Eleanor. I accidentally triggered the robot again.
Ah, yes.
But you stopped it.
Yeah.
Somebody stopped it. Charles was leading it around with his tie.
With his eye?
Tie.
Oh, okay.
His purple tie.
Oh, his tie. Yes.
Yes.
Of course, that's what I, that's what you, okay.
I mean tie.
Why? Oh, why?
And then you busted its head open with your sword, and all its brains leaked out.
Yeah.
And then we found Eleanor unconscious and took her back to her...
to her lab above the shopping center.
You just waking up as we ended the session, if I remember.
And Calvin had been left behind, but he did a, he had a 50-50 shot, and he guessed right, and he was coming up to the lab above the shopping center. And we all came up the back through the fire escape.
And I believe he got in because you or he, one of you two, failed your perception checks and then let him in.
Yeah.
Awesome. I've got a vague idea where I'm at, and you guys seem to know where you're at. And I think everybody's in the lab.
Yes.
Okay. The French doctor was being revived by good old British cup of tea.
Ah, yes.
So bringing a cup of tea to the good doctor.
The doctor wakes up with a start and sees you offering a cup of tea. And oh my goodness, who are you? Where? How did I get here? And she looks around.
You appear to have passed out in the basement of the police department. We brought you here. We know the octopus is after you, and they've already searched here, so this might be a good place.
Well, thank goodness you did. This is exactly where I need to be. Time is running out. Who are you?
Colonel Charles Gordon. These are my associates. Sally Sackett. Or the Dr. Sally Sackett, I believe.
Yeah.
And Calvin.
Calvin O'Rourke.
It's good to meet you, you three. Thank you so much for bringing me here. I hate to impose on you further, but I need your help. Time is running out.
If it's to port octopus, you obviously have our help.
Well,
time is running out for what?
Time is running out for me, actually. I have a rare blood disease, which is what caused me to collapse back at the party. I didn't think I was this far gone. I hate to impose on you, but there's not much time left there. And in that chest over there, there's a spare positronic brain. I need you to collect it for me and help me to connect it to
Oh God, she's gonna put it in her head. She's gonna make us put it in her head. She's gonna make us perform brain surgery and put it in her head.
Who put it in Natalie here? And she points to the female shaped robot that's connected to computers and wires.
Okay.
And parts.
Marginally better.
I did used to work for Octopus, it's true, but they were I was young and Albrecht was so charming. But I couldn't once I learned told me that they were trying to stabilize Zor, but in truth they're just trying to take control of it. I had to leave and try and stop them, and now I don't know how much more good I can do. Please get that positronic brain for me.
Can they take it over like they did the brain for the Santa Claus robot? That could be leading us to just more trouble and disaster.
Yeah, what was the point of all that anyway? Why did you build a Santa bot to go berserk?
I did not build it to go berserk. That was my bodyguard. When I started to weaken, Albrecht kept pursuing me and sending his agents and other methods. And I built Otto as my protector, because the robot doesn't tire and the robot has amazing aim and it was loyal. But then the doctor bills became so much and I couldn't afford my medicine and I needed money. So I rented Otto out as a Santa to get money for my medication. But that I had to leave behind when they found my other lab. And so now I have one hope. And no, this, if my plans go correctly, this brain will have much better controls and will not be able to be influenced by a reprogramming being.
Sure, this is your only option. It seems extreme.
I with the time I have left, that this is the only way.
Okay, because you're a few decades too early for extreme to be in vogue.
I'll be fine. Please just get the brain out and help me install in the robot. I can't do all the manual connections, but I can tell you how to hook it up if one of you has a scientific you have a doctor, hopefully that will help.
Can't be harder than putting together my transistor radio. I mean, come on.
Well, I do have a 65 in science, so I might be able to help you out there.
I'm sorry, that was your score in school, was 65? What was that out of?
You best not ask such questions. Okay, where is this positronic brain? It's on a shelf?
It's in the chest over there.
Okay, all right.
He doesn't listen very well, does he?
No, no. He's still young.
Yes.
I am not a teenager. Okay, I'm going to go over to the chest.
Of course you're not. It's okay there, Calvin.
check it for traps.
Okay, could you give me a security roll, please?
Okay, that's 75 or less. And first roll out the gate, is a 3.
Oh, that's very nice. It is not trapped.
I was actually joking because of all the old school fantasy crap I'm reading right now. Anyway,
I know, but you said it, so.
GM works with what you give them.
Hey, that's right. I support that fully. Okay, anyway, so there's no traps.
there is a trap, but you spot it easily.
Okay.
And deftly disarm it. Actually, learning a thing or two about how to bypass a fingerprint lock.
Wow, sweet.
Well, you rolled really good.
I'll keep that in my little bag of tricks.
Inside, you see a sphere looks kind of like a crystal ball with light blue liquid in it. It looks much like the brain that you saw in the Santa robot, except that it is completely inert. It's just like a
dormant positronic brain
or a crystal ball full of light blue water.
All right, I take it out and bring it over.
Okay. Oh, that's perfect. Okay. Now, don't you dare drop that.
I won't, but I don't see any connecting jacks on the back of this.
Well,
unless I do.
We will. No, you don't. You don't. We will take care of that once it's inside. Somebody, please open up the head of Natalie.
Okay, let me just pop the head open here.
So it is much like the Santa that you've popped open before. It's easy to find the opening. You pop it open and you see circuitry and wires. You see a big metal bowl-shaped place for the brain to be ensconced in. And you see that from that, it has connections going up to the brain and down along a electronic nervous system. The bowl where the positronic brain would go looks very clean and neat. It looks like it's been prepared for some form of coating that will help the energy go from the sphere into the robot.
So like a conductive gel of some kind?
Yeah. Eleanor points weakly to one of the shelves. It needs some of the RX-15 gel on the shelf there, and it's a shelf full of different chemicals and compounds and gels.
Bring that over to Sally.
Cosmetics.
How thick of a layer does it need?
It needs to be exactly 2.5 centimeters thick. Any less, and the brain will fire the robot anymore, and the connection will not be able to complete.
Okay. I have a majoring tape in my kit. I can get this gel on for you.
Okay. Roll science.
53,
but you had a 65, so you get a good coating that is exactly 2.5 centimeters thick. It's even, and you can just tell by experience that it will do the job.
This will make her jelly roll.
Yes.
Okay, now put the brain in and close the head, please.
Okay. Yes, please, because this looks very disturbing.
Okay, now we need to connect it and then turn the power on.
You know, it occurs to me, if you decide to market this, you could call it Sarah Jellum.
But her name's Natalie.
No, I mean the stuff that connects the brain to the...
The gel.
Yeah,
but her brain's not named Sarah, it's Natalie.
Never mind.
So do the contact have to be secured into the gel so it can conduct?
No, the gel is designed to osmosize the positronic waves into the metal, and the connections are on the metal. Next, I'm going to need the help of all three of you. I need one of you to secure the wire to the robot. I need one of you to get me into the chair and hook me up to its electronics. And the power for my system is down in the sub-basement. I need one of you to climb down the ladder to the sub-basement to flip the power on.
All right, and climbing is my speciality. I will do this.
Well, you're going to need a flashlight because...
Aha! I have! Aha! My amazing flashlight.
Thank you. So I'll need you to go down, and if you have some way to communicate, because we need to coordinate the time, we don't want you to turn the power on before everything's hooked up, so we need to be able to signal you to flip the power as soon as everything's hooked up.
Don't we have walkies?
Well, I know you have a communication device in your flashlight.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
And but I'm pretty sure,
as I remember, it communicates with walkie-talkies, and I thought we all had...
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
I just don't know if your teammates have their walkie-talkies with them.
Of course we do. Why would we be silly and leave them?
Why, it would be a betrayal of narrative trust if we didn't.
Actually, I remember us not having them in the last session.
Yes, I know. You think we would have learned from that?
Well, I don't think we've been back to that room to get them since that last session.
No.
Would somebody roll me an investigate?
Okay. 39 out of 45, I believe.
Oh, wow. Sally had a better investigate, but you passed. So you do notice that there is a walkie-talkie scattered amongst the other computer equipment that doesn't look like it's connected to anything.
Okay.
Well, actually, no. You know what? It's not connected to anything, but it has had its microphone removed, but it does have its Morse code button you can use. That's still functional.
Oh, geez. Well, all we need is a signal to say when to turn the power on, so I suppose that'll be okay. Not as efficient as now, but it'll have to do.
Yeah.
But when you press it, it'll send a beep that'll go off.
Just don't press it by accident. Too short and a long. Okay, I was trying to avoid because I don't want you to forget and give me two longs and a short or something. And then, okay.
Well, we'll see what happens.
I am annoyed to discover that as a cat burglar, I do not have a climbing skill.
I don't think there's a climbing skill. It's like acrobatics.
I do have that. I guess it's just straight agility.
You're fine. And you're climbing down a dark ladder. How hard could it be?
Well, that's true. Fine. Okay.
Yeah, you've got a flashlight.
Yep.
And it's not like it's that slippery.
All right.
Are you holding your flashlight in one hand, coming down with the other hand?
Yep.
Are you putting your flashlight in your mouth? Or it's probably big for that.
Yeah, I'll just hold it in one hand and hold the ladder with the other.
Once you get halfway down, I'll have you give me an agility roll. But go ahead and start on your way down. Sally and Charles, who wants to handle Natalie and who wants to handle Ellen?
Which, look at the two of them, which of these requires the least technical knowledge?
Handling Eleanor, she can help you to figure out what needs to be done, whereas handling the robot Natalie, you're pretty much on your own to figuring out the connections and stuff.
Yeah, I think I probably should stick with that since I have the science and the,
Okay, you see there are some receiving bolts on the brain. There are wires coming from various computers. Why don't you roll me first a science roll and then an electronics or engineering roll, your choice.
I got a 45 in the science. And then did you say the other one?
Electronics or engineering, but because you got the 45 in the science, go ahead and have two pips so that if the last number is a one or a two, it's an automatic success.
Oh, yeah, I got an 88.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay, that is bad karma.
Yeah.
So you're connecting the wires to the bolts, and you've figured out the notations for where to connect once. It's pretty much color-coded. One of the connectors doesn't seem to stretch far enough for where it looks like it needs to go. And so you quickly splice together a wire to build an extension to get it to hook up to the connection port that you think it needs to go to, because you are a scientific genius and you know how to make things happen, damn it.
Why is there always one that is too short? Always!
Eleanor gives a grunt of agreement. She leans strongly on you, Charles, almost as if she's too weak to walk, to bring her to the chair. She asks you to strap in her arms and legs and put the Calder type helmet on her head. And she's going to ask you to connect the blue wires to the right side, the orange wires to the left side. And then there are, I don't know what the official term is, it, but you know those connectors like for an EKG that they do? She asks you to put six of those on one side of touching your skin on the right side and six of those touching the skin on the left side of your
body. Okay, exactly where you want them.
It's not important. They just need to be touching skin. They can be on arms, legs, torso.
Propriety demands that I get permission to where I touch you, man.
Well, honestly, propriety is not long for this body. You absolutely have permission. I would like you to make... Oh, it could be a medicine roll. It could be an electronics roll.
They're both the same, but we'll say medicine just because I think he would maybe feel he knows more about that than the other.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's going to fail it.
Okay. As you're making the connections, give me an alertness roll, please.
Oh, yeah. I succeed there very well.
Okay. Three. As you're doing this, something feels wrong. It was going smoothly. You connected all of the connections to the head thing, and you're connecting the EKG nodes to her body, and you look and something seems off. Some kind of intuition is saying there's something missing. Go ahead and give me an investigation roll.
No, not either.
Oh, well.
I'm sure it'll be fine.
Yeah, I'm sure it will be fine. You do notice, however, that you are missing an electrode. There are only five of the ones that connect to her body. You cannot see the sixth one anywhere.
And they're counting five or six. Like, what do you need?
There has to be the same number on both sides. It can't be an odd number.
Well, I think there's only five here, so should I remove one?
Yes. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Unhook one.
Okay. And the last thing is to ensure the computer banks for me and the computer banks for the robot are connected. I did that earlier. Just need to verify no one has messed with any of my equipment. Can you just double check the connections? Either one of you or both?
Sure. You want to help out here, Sally?
Sure. I can help double check the connections.
Okay. So science, investigation, electronics, engineering, any of those. Oh,
a 10 and a 2, so.
10 and a 2.
Yeah.
Okay, so excellent.
I think I'm good.
Yeah, and could one of you two roll a perception, please?
Alertness?
Or, I'm sorry, not perception, alertness, yes.
I'll spend a flip back 95 to a 59 and succeed.
Okay. As Sally verifies the connection and actually fixes one that had come unconnected for some, but made sure everything's ready, you glance towards the window and you see standing there on a hover disk a man in a purple uniform with an officer's hat. He's got a monocle in one eye and obviously a goatee, of course, and several medals over his left pocket and his pants tucked into his boots like jodhpurs and holding a riding crop. He says, "Finally, I've found you."
I'll, Sally, you carry on to this. I'll try to handle him and go over to the window.
Okay, you head towards the window. Eleanor says, "Now, we need the power. Is it connected? We don't have time. Not with him here."
It's connected. You want me to send the signal?
Send it now.
Okay. That'd be two shorts and one long.
Okay. Are you there, Calvin? It's me, Margaret.
Which makes me God in this exchange. I like this. Yes, I am.
Okay. Sorry. You muted just a little longer than
I forgot. Okay. I was muted. Sorry.
You're going down the ladder. Roll me an agility check.
Okay. What is my, that's 65 and I roll a 33.
Oh, that's good karma. Give yourself a story point.
Okay. I'm now up to 6.
And as you're going down, you bump across a power line that you realize must have been the cord that had been strung through to power the Santa Claus when it was doing the thing. And you do see, as you come down, there's a secret door that looks like it leads to the cafeteria.
Huh.
And as you go past that, you hear coming across the walkie-talkie, two shorts and a long stick, and you still got a couple of floors down to go.
Okay, well, I better hurry then.
Oh, well, then go ahead and throw me another agility roll, but give yourself 2 pips since you got the good karma.
Okay. Oh, I just missed it.
What'd you roll?
I rolled a 68, and I have 65 as my agility.
So you can't even flip it. So nope. you're rushing down, and you drop your flashlight. Clunk, 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 bam.
No!
It hits the communication portion and knocks that out of commission, at least until you can get it fixed.
Okay.
And then you make it down to the bottom and you find the power panel, which is just three big levers, all of them in the off position, which is up.
Okay. Did she specify which one I was supposed to?
She did not.
Nope.
Well, then I'll just shove them all down.
You shove them all down and lights light up the kind of ladder well that you had been climbing down. There's lighting for that. And Charles and Sally, you see the computer starting to warm up. You see tubes starting a dim glow that's slowly getting brighter and brighter.
Is there power indicators for when I should flip a switch or anything once it's warmed up?
Give me an investigation or science or engineering or electronics.
He just 61. Doesn't give you enough options to go by.
I'm sorry, 61?
Yeah, and if we do investigation, yeah, 65. Yeah. So
right. There is a gauge above a switch that's down. It's slowly starting to shakily rise, and there's a white section, and then a narrow strip of a green section, and then a red section, and that's starting to go up, and it looks like maybe you should flip the switch when hits green, or maybe not, or maybe red. Who knows? But yeah, you do see the gauge. You think it's probably the green strip because obviously it's the most narrow width, and likely you'll need to flip it at that point. At least that's what it looks like. I mean, if this were a logical scientist, that's how it would.
Yeah. Come on. Hit the green. Come on so I can flip the switch. Okay. Hurry up.
Calvin, as you're walking towards the militaristic route, he says, Marvin, we meet again. Have you reconsidered? There is no need for this. We will pay for your medicine. We can help you. And Eleanor Reeves, never. You'll never get your hands on me again. I've seen to that. And then she goes limp. And the gentleman looks at you, Charles, and says, what have you done with her? He signals, and two goons that had their own levitation discs jump through the window coming at you.
Look, old man, you're barking up the wrong tree. The lady clearly is not interested. There's plenty of other cephalopods in the sea. Why don't you just end this ridiculous? You're just embarrassing yourself. Move on.
Silence! You have no say. Who are you and what have you done to the woman I love?
And we have only carried out her wishes, unlike you.
She does not. She is delirious from her disease. She does not know what's best for her. Her wishes are say strongly. I will see that she gets better. In the meantime, I will get rid of you. Let's all roll initiative here, shall we?
All right, I got an 8.
An 8?
Which is not too bad, considering that seems like a screwy rule, because...
It is weird, yeah.
I failed, but 8 seems pretty high. So.
And I succeeded, and I got a 5.
Yeah.
It seems random enough that why bother with the complication?
Right.
Yeah, I don't know, but that's...
I got a 14, so...
You got a 14? Wow. No, I believe you. I'm just, that's a lot.
That was your roll, or that's what you got when you added the things together?
That was my roll.
You got a 5.
You rolled a 14, so you got a 5.
I thought that was...
All right, troubleshooter designers, take note. I failed, and I've got the highest initiative so far, so what the hell? That doesn't seem right.
It could be I misread the rules, too. I mean,
I think that's... Well, no, if you... Yeah. Yeah, in fact, that's how it works. It's just weird.
Yeah.
So it looks like it's going to go Calvin, Von Zardith, Sally, and / Charles, and whichever. Wait, no, not Von Zardith. No.
I wonder if it's like. I won't worry about it. I'm just wondering if all the people who succeed are supposed to go first, and then you go back up, and people who failed go in order of their failure. So that way, an 8, that would just make things more confusing. Never mind.
The initial roll is a tester for alertness. On bad karma 0, if your check fails, your initiative is the 1s of the roll. If the check succeeds, your initiative is the 10s plus the 1s of the roll.
Right.
And on good karma, add 10. In descending order of initiative, highest to lowest, each character's character then takes one turn. Each character.
All right.
Unless they mean by the 10s and the 1s, they actually mean 32. Oh. That would be weirder, I think.
No, but that makes more sense, actually. 10 plus, what? So maybe Well, no, because that's just the roll then.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So
I think it is. We're doing it the way they intend. It's just weird.
That's just weird. Okay. Well,
okay.
All right.
But if it's initiative, who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so just it's mystery, and I don't like mysteries. They give me a bellyache, and I got a beauty right now.
It's going to go Kelvin, Goon 2, Sally, Charles, and whatever they want, order they want, Goon 1, and then good old Zardith. So, Kelvin, what you going
to
do?
With my failed roll, I'm going to throw a shuriken at him.
I don't think you can throw it that far.
Oh, okay.
I mean, okay, you actually
don't even know. You don't even know what's going on.
I thought I could hear the conversation. Well, if I don't know what's going on, why the hell am I wrong in the first place?
Well, because I assume you're not just going to sit by the power, or I assumed you were going to come back up and eventually. Well,
yeah, I turned all the powers on and the lights went shiny, shiny, flicky, flicky, so I'm done. I'm going back down the ladder.
And I have no problems with you hearing the conversation. What I have a problem with is you throwing a shuriken up 12 floors.
Okay, fine. All right.
And aiming then at a person you can't see.
Then I'll just climb. Well, that's why it's called I'm a hero. I'm kidding. I'll just climb up the ladder then. I'm doing my climbing thing.
Okay. Are you leaving your flashlight there since there's lights in the thing? Oh, you know what? Doesn't matter. You climb up. You're on your way up. You'll soon be in the middle of the fray.
Actually, Charles. You know what? In the interest of dramatic truth, I probably would go back for the flashlight because I have no reason not to since I don't know what's going on.
Your most valued possession.
Exactly. So, I would not just leave it. Because my first thought was, I better go and see what's going on and I'll come back and get it later. But I would not do that.
No, but what I'm saying is you can just put it in your belt or something. It's not going to impede your climb.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm not saying you left it. I'm saying I'm not going to worry about it because it's not. I'm not going to make you roll agility to climb on the way up because the flat.
Because the lights are on now. Okay, got it. All right, cool. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, Sally Charles, you get to decide who goes first.
I thought it was the goon's turn.
It is. Yes. I totally forgot I had goons. So the goon is going to swing at Charles with a fistful of hurt.
If he succeeds, he'll swing again for a few hurts more.
Take this, sucker, because octopus. And he swings at Charles a really broadcast roundhouse punch that you see coming a mile away, and you do one of those, just lean back a couple inches, and he whiffs right past.
All right. Now, then, I guess I'll, what these guys didn't see, when I headed towards the window, I grabbed the teapot and was holding it behind my back, so I take that and throw the hot steaming tea in his face. I'm hoping I can self-subterfuge with that.
You are lucky that I am a sucker for a good move. Yeah, I'll take subterfuge. Yeah, do it.
We'll still fail. 97 is not going to do it.
So what happens is you coolly dodge just out of the way and swing your teapot surprise around, but he still swings with his punch, and so both of your arms connect, and you don't actually get the teapot to connect to anything. He blocks you by accident.
All right.
That puts it to Sally. The gauge is still like a quarter of the way to the green.
Okay, and how far away is Charles in the window from where I'm at?
This isn't a big space. It's 15, 20 feet. It's not a huge fighting area. If you had a shuriken, you could throw it at them.
Yeah.
I reach into my bag, grab my pickaxe, and throw the pickaxe at him.
Oh, nice. That
is part of my archaeologist kit that I have.
Yeah. I'm going to have to call it range, though, because you're actually throwing.
Really? Are you going to have to? You have to? I mean, it's...
Yes, I have to.
I mean, don't they say that your rule is the final rule? And so you can pretty much do whatever you want. I'm just messing
with you. I want to call it range.
Touche. All
right. Oh, geez. Yeah, that did not work. 99.
Oh, that's another bad karma for you.
I know.
Yikes. And it's a failure. And your pickaxe, they need a luck stat. Roll me willpower.
Oh, 55.
Okay, so you miss the goon and your pickaxe flies out the window just barely missing Graf von Zardes and falls down, down, down to the bottom of the alleyway. And you hear a little clatter as it hits the ground.
Dawn, I'm going to have to go pick that up later. That's my favorite pickaxe.
Then the other goon looks at you and smiles almost as though he remembers you from before. He pulls out a ray gun looking thing that he's going to point and shoot at you. He rolls a 93 out of 55. So the ray misses you and it's like a beam of light that hits the shelving behind you, but doesn't actually have any effect. There's no impact. There's no fire. There's no smoke. There's no bumps.
That was, he shoots like a stormtrooper.
Well, I mean, he did miss you, but the ray gun didn't look to be one that would put holes in anything. And Von Zardes says, "You worms, we need to get rid of you." And he signals, and two more goons come up on their levitating discs and crawl through the window. And they are just going to tack onto the bottom of initiative. One of them has an iPad.
Oh, the guy who was pretending to be the cook at the ball.
I want to get me one of those disc things. That'd be great for a cat burglary.
Yeah, maybe we can steal one after we beat their asses.
If you beat their asses. And
no, you're supposed to be an impartial GM.
What are you talking about?
I'm just teasing you.
I'm just deciding. He is definitely the leap from behind type, so he is remaining on his levitation disc. And we go to the top of the round. Calvin, you come out of the ladder well to see Charles, and you see the computer is warming up. Some of the lights are starting to glow like regular light bulb level. You see Elnor Mavin strapped into some kind of electric chair-looking contraption collapsed. You see Sally smiling in a menacing sort of way at four oncoming goons. You see Charles facing the four goons as well, and you see a commander-looking figure on a levitation disc out the window. You do have, it's a small enough space you are able to get to where you want to be with your movement.
Okay. Well, I didn't know which of those switches to push, so I pushed. Oh, what in the name of Tesla's going on?
Could use your help here, Calvin. You seem to be outnumbered.
Okay, I don't have time to pull Shuriken out of my thing, so I'm going to, I guess, sorry, girl, bash a goon with my flashlight.
Ooh, okay, so you're going to rush over to get in the thick of things?
Yep.
Okay, will you give me a melee roll?
Okay, I'm afraid to look to see what that...
45.
Okay. All right, ooh, that's not good. Ah, but I have story points. It's going to 72, which I'm going to spend two story points to flip to make... There, I need to see what else you can do with story points, because so far that's about the only thing I've been using them for. I'm flipping it to 27.
You can do a lot. You can do yum-yum type things with them.
Okay.
Okay, so you come up to one of the goons, and I'm going to say it's goon three, and you whack him upside the head with a flashlight. What kind of damage does a flashlight give me? Half a moment.
Probably light damage.
Ah, ha, 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 ha. Aren't you a witty one? Those are all guns.
A pretty with a witty one.
Okay, 3d6, please. 4 through 6 is 1 point of damage and 6 is explode.
I got a 4, a 4, and a 4.
You knock him upside the head and you hit it right in that magic spot in movies that just makes him collapse.
Lights out, partner.
Nice.
I can't think of anything more pithy than that.
All right. And with that, Goon 2, he's going to take another swing, a fistful of hurt at Charles, because they're...
Is that just you being funny, or is that an actual thing that they have in the
That's the actual...
Oh, okay. A
fistful of hurt.
That's funny.
And he gets a 52 out of 55, so his swing connects, and now I've got to do some quick...
I have to do something to try to defend or reduce this or something.
Yeah. Tech check, maybe opposed by a defense check. Melee, I'm assuming.
Sure. How much hurt do these guys do?
Fistful.
Yeah. How much is a fistful?
He's going to get 2d6.
Ooh. And if I succeed here, because I can flip it and succeed, because I got a 60.
If the tech check is tied with the defense check, the attack fails to hit. So you did block him. You in display of kung fu prowess.
I don't think that was the case. hits me out, like retreating backward quickly enough that I'm underneath a shelf or something, and he smashes into the shelf, I think, with like an overhand swing.
That worked, yes. So you back out of the way. He punches a shelf and breaks some scientific equipment, and something on the computer starts to beep. It's now Sally and /or Charles.
Sally?
Is it in the green zone?
It is in the green zone. It's at the very bottom of the green zone. It's not in the middle. It's not in the far end. It's just barely entered the green zone. And the computer's going beep, 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 beep.
So I lunge to throw the switch.
You throw the switch. And all of a sudden the beeping goes beep, 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 beep. And things start to whir. And one of the connections on the robotic side lets off a spark, and the chair that Dr. Marvin was in start little devices and pieces of it start to glow, and her eyes open wide, and she lets out a little and you can't really attack, but if you want to move somewhere or do something else.
Well, I think as soon as I flip the switch, I roll back around to keep my eye on the goons.
Okay, so you kind of take a little bit of cover and move, so that'll give you a tip to your next defense roll.
Okay.
Charles.
Gentlemen, do you know the type of man you're working for? Let me quote to you some of the love poetry he sent to this woman. And since I read his letters, I start quoting some of the love poetry. So hopefully that will either disgust the man or enrage him, so he'll come in where he can get his ass kicked rather than fighting through the goons.
I like it. Are you thinking performance? Charm?
Charm would be good for me.
Okay. I can see charm.
Yes, 63. Yes, 65. So I succeed.
The goon looks back at the manager and says, "Really, boss?" And, you know nothing of love. I will deal with this myself. And he steps through the window, pulling his gun. Does he have a gun?
He does now.
I mean, of course he has a gun.
He's a general. Come on.
Yeah. No, he draws his sword. Keen sword.
His bayonet. Okay.
Awesome. So he comes to the window and says, "I will deal with them myself. Quick, get the girl." And so he comes through the window, and he is not his turn yet. But Goon 1 is going to turn his ray gun on Calvin and fire off a beam of light straight at Calvin.
Is there any way I can use acrobatics to defend?
Sort of. So his roll was successful. He rolled a 13. Out of 55, you do defend with agility. Okay. You defend range attacks with agility, sort of dodge.
All right, well, I rolled a 15.
So you succeed. So again, you just managed to dodge out of the way of light, and it hits the back wall and just kind of dissipates. Again, not leaving a scorch mark, not leaving anything that indicates some sort of damage. And it's a damaging ray.
Okay.
And then Von Sardith is, "You mock my love," and swings his cane sword at Charles's neck.
"No, we don't mock your love. We just mock you."
Ooh, 65. And he rolled a 51. So you've got a sword coming at your neck there, Charles.
Yeah, and my defense roll failed and was 66. So bad karma.
Ooh, bad karma.
Ooh.
Ouch.
Your poetry still sucks. This dying words. No, I'm so better not be.
Rolls a 5d6.
D6, wow. That's going to hurt. Well, I guess it doesn't. It's that's a weird way to count that, right?
You rolled 3 threes, a 4, and a 5. So that's 2 points to you, Charles.
Okay.
At least there were no sixes.
Yeah. So I think that hurts, but I think you're fine. I think you should be at full.
Yeah, yeah.
Vitality.
I'm down to 3 then.
And there's thing you can take more permanent damage to avoid loss later on.
Can you use a story point to reduce damage?
It's a fair question. Spend story points, activate an ability, get a gadget, flip a check, get a clue, add something minor, add something major, kill unnecessarily or in cold blood. So it does not say reducing damage.
Okay.
So you got a nice slice on your neck though, Charles.
Yeah.
It looks bad and it is bleeding in full sight of everybody.
But you could at least see that I'm holding my hands. You could at least give me a sword to make this an honorable duel.
Dogs have no honor.
I beg to differ.
Beg all you want, it will do you no good.
Dogs have more honor than you. Get her.
Okay, well, he might be more focused on you next time. We'll see. But in the meantime, Eyepatch is striding towards Sally with a fist ready. He is going to give Sally a fistful of hurt to get her out of the way so he can get the scientist chick. So let's see if we can hurt Sally a fistful. And he rolled a 58 out of 55. Your positioning was perfect in that he could not get a good angle of attack, but he does avoid punching the desk you are hiding behind, Sally. Wait. Oh, no, that's right. Yeah. And then we go back to the top of the order. So that makes it Calvin's turn.
Okay. The flashlight worked pretty well last time. My poor flashlight. So I'm going to bap it. How close am I to the guy with the who sliced my buddy here?
I mean, again, this is a small thing. It's like a
okay. Well, 20, let me never mind the war games question. What I meant to say is, I would like to bap sword dude with my flashlight.
Yes, you can get to him, and you can swing your flashlight at him. If you give me a melee attack.
Okay, so 45 or less, and I rolled 36.
Okay, his defense is 45. And he rolls a 36, too. So you swing your flashlight, but he saw you out of the corner of your eye and whips his head out of the way, and you do miss.
Oh, see, I pictured him parrying my flashlight with his sword and having that thing where...
Oh, that's just, actually cooler.
The jarring impact shoots down my arm.
Yeah, and you're there staring at each other, sword crossed with flashlight.
Yes, that is better. Thank you. I'm sorry to think of that. I envy your brain.
No, I never know whether to throw these things out because I don't want to step on your GM toes.
Please, Stu, if you have something better than me, absolutely say it. Okay, your crossed sword and flashlight.
I'll even be like, ow! Bugger! Oh!
Goon 2 is going to disengage from Charles and head towards the computer stuff, and he's going to pick up something heavy from the desk. The walkie-talkie. He's going to grab the walkie-talkie from the desk, and he's going to start beating on the computer with it, trying to break it, make it stop, and the computer is starting to spark and spasm and glow brighter, and the beep, 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 beep is going really, really super high now, and the gauge is in the red mark. It is Sally and slash or Charles's turn.
Do you want me to go first, or do you want to go first, Charles?
Whether it'll matter? What do you got?
Well, I am so sick of you guys picking on us women. Didn't your mothers teach you any manners? And I'm going to grab my sword, both hands, and swing for the guy's neck that just tried to hit me with a fistful of hurt.
The eye patch guy?
Yeah, so I can get past him and to the guy at the computer.
Give me a melee roll, please.
Okay. 19.
Wow. Long sword does 5d6. Oh yeah, because that's what the other sword did. And do you get a bonus because you're a swordsman, right?
Yes. And don't I have a 1 pip? So what do you need me to do? Roll.
The 1 pip is for an automatic success if you roll a 1 on the 1.
Oh, okay.
But you do 5d6, and do you get extra d6 for being a swordsman? Mm-hmm. Do you know, or does that just give you a bonus to your attack?
I don't know, but I forgot I have a sword.
You don't need a sword. You've got a flashlight.
I know, but the sword does more damage, though.
I'll just give you, just do 66. A 4 through 6 is a hit, and 6 is explode.
Okay. My only problem is I think I only have 5d6 up here.
Oh, well, then I guess you can only do 5d6.
Oh, no.
I was joking. You can obviously reroll.
Yeah. One. Okay. I have a 1, 2, 3, 4, and a 6.
1, 2, 3. Oh, so your 6 explodes, so you get to reroll that, and you also get another roll because you had 66. So roll 2 more dice, please.
A 1 and a 5.
So you do 3 damage to the eye patch feller, which does knock him to the ground. You slice him. You said you're hitting his, aiming for his neck?
Yep.
Okay. You put a good gouge in his neck. He is bleeding, but he is alive. He's definitely out of action. In this game, it's considered extremely bad form, and there are consequences to killing in cold blood. So you do have the option of killing him next round if you want to, but there will be consequences. In the meantime, he is definitely hurt. He's not going to recover anytime soon. He may not be able to speak again, and he is out of the fight unconscious.
Awesome.
Can't see the other one eye.
Shooting at the goal.
Okay, Charles.
If I can sell subterfuge again, I'm going to, there's got to be one of these floating discs that one of these guys hopped off on. I'm going to kick one of those into the legs of Zardy.
I love that. Yes. Yeah, I'll take it because that's cool.
Oh, this is not my day. That's 97.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, so that even flipping it wouldn't have. You kick the disc and it doesn't move. There's some sort of inertial stabilizer or brake. There's something on it that prevents it from just moving quickly in any direction. It's designed to hover up and down. It can go slowly, you know, forward and back, but it's got something in its design that prevents it from actually zipping, because that would make people fall off.
What will they think of next?
That's a good question. Boy, one of those would be great to be able to study, though. That's amazing. So the first goon, let's see. Yeah, he's still up. Oh, yeah, he's going to fire his ray gun at Kelvin again. Ooh, and he got a 21. So you can use your agility to dodge.
And who did he hit?
You, Kelvin.
I was afraid you were going to say that. That's why I wanted to. Okay. Damn, ray gun. All right. Agility roll, and that would be a 35 out of 65. Not a great roll, but not a bad roll.
It's enough that you dodge out of the way, and once again, it just hits the wall and dissipates. Von Sardis is... Meddlers, you are getting between me and the woman I love. I need to save her before it's too late. What is she even doing? You've twisted her mind. I will kill you for this. He's going to stab his sword straight at your heart, Charles. But you've got a slight reprieve because I temporarily lost my 10-sided. Oh, and then I dropped the... Oh, my God. My dice doesn't want to roll against you. Apparently, it flew off the desk. I picked it up. It dropped out of my hand. And he rolled a 61 out of 65.
Failed to dodge.
You failed to dodge?
Oh.
Okay. Yikes. This could hurt. His sword starts to plunge in. It puts a hole through your coat. Puts a hole through your other coat. It starts to enter your chest, doing 2 points of vitality when... All of a sudden, the computer goes, and sparks fly, and both branches of the computer explode. Dr. Malva goes, and the light fades from her eyes, and she thumps in the chair, and the computers all explode. Massive smoke. Everyone, don't even bother to roll. Everyone gets knocked back and hit on the ground, and there's a cloud of smoke covering the air. and you can't see... everyone, give me a willpower check, please. How bad are you, Charles?
I'm at one.
Oh, nice. Okay, so you're not dead yet. So yeah, everybody roll me a willpower, please.
Oh, wow. Is willpower, it's a skill, right?
Yes.
I was afraid you'd
say that. So you have 15.
Yes, I do. Okay, I swear to God, I'm not making this up. I rolled a 14.
Nice.
Failed.
Nice. Okay.
38.
Out of...
45.
Okay, nice. I am going to say, because you have the lowest margin, Kelvin, you start to come through first as you start to recover first. You can't see anything. You hear Sally coughing. You hear moans of people. You do have your flashlight in your hand. Was it on the whole time?
I don't know why it wouldn't be. Well, no, once I didn't need the light anymore, I think I would have turned it off.
Okay. It wouldn't matter. It would have just reflected against the smoke anyway. But
I was thinking of exchanging it for my sword.
Oh, sure. You can do that. You do not see any targets, but the room is heavy with smoke and the smell of ozone and the coughing
increase. Electrical fire.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, actually, the bed's caught on fire.
How do we sleep when our beds are burning?
Burning the midnight oil again.
Yep. Yeah. Damn right.
Better hope it's a water bed.
So what you gonna do?
I'm gonna run over to Eleanor, or whatever her name is. Was this supposed to happen?
So you want to make your way through a cloud of smoke to a specific target. So I'm going to say give me an alertness, but you get 2 pips because you're a cat burglar and you're used to moving in the dark. So you usually have a good sense of...
Wow, 13.
Oh, nice. Okay. So you make it over to her and you yell at her and she is not responding to you. Sally, you are in a similar situation, except that you felt somebody run over you just like a second and a half ago. And you heard Calvin say, was this supposed to happen?
Damn it, Calvin, watch where you step. That hurt.
Sorry.
And the smoke is starting to clear. And Sally, Sally, you see Charles is on the floor bleeding, and he does have a sword sticking out of his chest.
So trying to stay low, crawling through the smoke to stay out of the worst of it, I go over to him and see if there's any way I can help him.
Okay, could you give me an agility check?
Okay, I was going to do medicine, but okay, agility. Can I spend 2 story points and flip that to a 14 because I got a 41?
Oh, nice. You can, yes. Okay, so you do make it across the floor without running into any bodies or anything burning or damaging to you. And you get up to Charles, and now please make a medicine check.
34 out of 45.
Nice. You managed to rip some of Charles's clothing. You can decide where to make a makeshift bandage. Do you want to bandage the neck or the chest? Do you want to pull the sword out? And
he who pulls the sword from my chest shall be queen of all England.
Yeah, pull the sword out and you bandage the blood flow. It looks like it did not go through his heart, but he is bleeding in a couple of spots. But you can be up to 2 points of vitality, Charles, and you can start to come to with Sally leaning over you, a concerned look in her eyes as she is bandaging one of your wounds.
Did we win?
I have no idea. Still waiting for the smoke to clear.
And as you say that, the smoke is cleared enough that you can see there is nobody in the room that is standing. You see several people on the floor in various states of disconsciousness. You see Evelyn limp, strapped to her electric chair, and you see Calvin yelling at her. He's not yelling, I'm sure.
She's not going to be there anymore. Check the robot.
Who's going to check the robot?
I'm over helping.
You're helping Charles. Mm-hmm. I was going to keep an eye on Dr. Hashenfacken or whatever the hell his name is.
Well, give me a medicine check with 3 pips, Eric.
3, what does that mean?
That means if the ones die is a 1, 2, or 3, it's an automatic death, regardless of what the tens are.
Okay, 15. Okay, it is not a 1, 2, or 3. 59.
Okay.
And I don't think I have medicine, so.
No, so it's a 15. So
I just made it worse.
Well, the good news is you still have hope for her.
Okay.
I mean, she's not responding, she's not breathing, but you have hope.
Okay, wait, hold on a second. But what is the robot doing? Or the robot?
Oh, I don't know. Are you checking the robot?
Yes, because she was trying to transfer her consciousness into the robot. So, I mean, her body is probably going to be a shell at this point. I'm looking more to see what the robot's doing.
But you're just, okay. I'm sorry. I thought you were asking her, was this supposed to happen?
I was just asking that in general to the room.
Okay. My mistake. The robot is inert.
Okay.
The robot is inert. And as you're checking the robot, you hear from the window, you have killed the woman I love. I'll make sure you pay to the ends of the earth, as Grafon's artist's levitation and the other ones lower down to the bottom of the alley.
Okay, so they are no longer in the room with us.
No longer in the room with you.
Are we still in initiative order then?
No.
Okay, then I would like to, remembering, unlike the player, where the Santa robot had an off switch, I'm going to see if the Natbot has one.
Sure, yeah. Give me either electronic or investigation.
I believe I'll do investigation because I don't have electronics. Come on, man. Don't start giving me crap rolls now. Oh, 45. Dead on.
Wow. Okay, well, that is a success. So you do not see an on switch, off on switch like the Santa Bot had, but you do notice that there was one that indicated power, like it was supposed to jumpstart the robot. The cord that was connecting that looks like it wouldn't reach quite far enough, and there was a less strong wire that was bridging the gap to make the difference.
Okay, can I secure the connection? Like
you can,
if I have to like shove her over a little bit. Over there. All right.
You can, but the equipment that it was connected to is destroyed.
Oh, okay. Well, then.
And the fire that was on the bed is starting to spread.
Okay, so I just look at the... I go to do that, look at the destroyed equipment, and throw my hands up in frustration.
I want to shove the bed towards the window and tip it out. Zardy.
Nice. You know what? I don't even want to make you roll for that. And not just because I can't figure out what you would roll, but because I like it's cool. It does fall down, but I'm going to let Zardy roll a defense, which he misses. The bed hits him and his levitation disc, and both start to collapse and fall down to the ground. And you lose sight of him between the smoke from the mattress and the mattress. You did not hear a clang, though. And you hear sirens from the street that sound like they're heading towards your direction.
You think you can do anything for her, Sally?
I don't know. Let me check. So I go over to check on Eleanor to see if there's any vital signs at all.
No. Roll me a medicine check.
32.
Definitely the body is dead. Yeah, and
I meant the robot.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But Sally may have misinterpreted it that way, so that's fine.
Okay, I'll check the robot too then.
Yeah, I don't think she's there anymore. I feel like she's over there.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead and give me science or electronics.
We blew it somehow.
Science, and I got a 63 out of 65.
With your science check, you can tell that wire that you used as the splice to get it there, It didn't burn out. If the power went through, it did conduct it to the robot. The robot is still inert, but that connection did function as it was supposed to.
Maybe she was too far gone to begin with.
And
the boost.
Maybe it needs to warm up.
Yeah.
Where you may got jumper cables.
Yeah. Use a battery from your flashlight.
And
all right, I can try that.
The sirens have stopped outside. They obviously came to here because there were explosions and smokes. You want to... Okay, so go ahead and makeshift connect the batteries. This one is definitely going to be an electronics roll for somebody.
I do not have good electronics, but I can give the battery to somebody who might. Do either of you have electronics?
No, I've been getting by on science deduction alone because I don't have a lot of electronics.
Well, that doesn't help me.
No.
I think everybody has 15 in
electronics. All right, here we go. This would be a good time for...
I think story points can only flip.
Well, I rolled a 33, but that's still failure. Oh. That would be bad karma on top of failure.
That is bad karma on top of failure. So as you are messing with the battery, the police chief and the store manager and several cops and a couple of firefighters come through the door at the end. They came up through the store and say, "Everybody stop where you are. This is
okay,
a police investigation."
Like, over her with a battery in mid, like I'm just freeze right where I am.
What is going on here? There was an explosion. There was damage. There was smoke coming out.
Octopus happened.
Yeah. It's a shame you boys weren't a few minutes earlier.
We did not know anything was happening until rooftop exploded. What happened here? And why? What happened to this woman? Oh, my God. And a firefighter runs over there, injects her and looks back and says, "She's dead."
Yes, but her consciousness may not be. We're trying to give this robot a boost because she was trying to transfer her consciousness into this machine here.
We don't need another robot rampaging around Paris.
We don't need another robot. Well, she said she'd solve that problem. I believe her.
You mean the dead woman?
Yes.
Yes.
This is Eleanor Mobbin.
Right. So your story is that this woman connected herself to a computer and killed herself trying to transfer her consciousness into a robot.
The interface of Octopus disrupted the transfer.
Yes, and it's not a story, monsieur. It's a fact.
We are the police. We will determine what the facts are.
You don't need to. I'm telling you what the facts are.
Well, why don't you go ahead and tell us downtown?
Because I don't have time for those kinds of shenanigans. We've done nothing to break the law. We're trying to save this woman's life. And you are wasting our time. Now get back.
You're trying to save this dead woman's life.
No, I'm trying to save the... Well, yes.
This is a crime scene. Oh, you know what? He's not as hostile as I thought he was because there are octopus agents still unconscious.
Mm-hmm. One bleeding from the neck.
We will...
Tragic accident.
We will take the robot into custody and we can take your statements. We will put our best technicians on the robot to see if we can find out how it works and what its purpose was.
I'm afraid to disconnect it from these apertures, though. We don't know what they do. I mean, she knew, but even though the computer seems to have destroyed itself, I'm still wary of, I mean, that without knowing how it works, we could end up killing her again, assuming she's not already dead both places.
Well, that is what our investigation will discover. You have clearly done either a murder or a service here.
Definitely.
I think your part is finished. We have scientists and technicians, and we can take care of this matter. Leave it to the government.
I rolled my eyes.
They always go so well.
I suppose you've got top men working on it right now.
Well, we do have top men who have studied a robot previously.
All right. Fair enough.
How much studying have you done to the robot?
I said fair enough.
Thank you. And besides, you're taping batteries to the robot.
We're trying to give it an extra charge to see if we can jumpstart it somehow.
Why did you not try and connect it to an outlet? Splice a extension cord to the wherever the power receptacle is and plug it into some of the power downstairs?
Because we didn't have those resources at our disposal at that moment. The batteries were handier.
The breakers here are blown.
And there's that.
Okay, well, we would like you to come into the station to give us your statements. We will clean this mess up. You have once again done service to our nation and our city by clearly foiling an octopus cell, although we have no idea what their purpose was. So you will be getting a medal for this, but for now...
Clearly their purpose was to try to control that robot Santa and wreak havoc on your fair city with the purposes of blackmailing you or holding the city for ransom.
That is a plausible reason for...
Damn right it is.
...the Santa robot. What does that have to do with them being here?
Well, the Santa robot was here. It went amok and we had to thwart it again.
And they wanted to capture the woman who created the robot.
Oh, and you foiled that by killing
her. No, we foiled that by obeying her instructions to help her save herself. She was dying. Her body was being ravaged by disease. And I'm sure when your medical examiners get a hold of the body, you will bear this out to be true.
Well, we shall see. We will investigate. We will be in touch. Don't leave the city, but you can go.
It's almost Christmas. We've got... All right.
You've got what?
We've got Christmas stuff to do.
You can go do Christmas stuff. Don't leave the city.
Okay.
You don't... What Christmas stuff can you do in this room?
Well, no, I none in this room, but I don't know if we want to be limited.
We were going to go back home, visit friends and family. My niece is waiting for her Christmas present. Maybe a toy robot.
If you cooperate with the investigation, we will try and expedite it and get you on your way as soon as possible.
All right, well,
you can come to the station now if you like.
I'm glad we could help you with this ho-ho homicide.
So do you want to come with the station now, give your statements, and then we can let you go?
Yes, might as well, because your investigation is going to take much longer than, well, it's government. It'll take forever. All right.
Okay, and so then the police officers escort you out of the building, and the fire department personnel put out any remaining flickerings of the fire and leave with the body of Dr. Melvin. And the last policeman starts putting crime scene tape across the windows and the doors saying, do not enter, and turns and goes. And then in the very last panel of the comic, in an empty room blocked with police tape, the robot's eyes start glowing a yellow, warm yellow glow.
Ooh. Dun, dun,
and,
dun.
And a soft female voice with no robotic qualities whatsoever.
Oh, whoops, sorry. We were premature.
No, you did, but then I thought of a second part. a soft female voice that has no robotic qualities, whatever, says, I thought they'd never leave. You can only play possum for so long.
Ah.
And that is the end of that adventure.
Cool.
Thank you all.
Yeah, that was fun.
That was fun. There's a thing to do with experience points that has to do with the skills you used, and I wasn't keeping track because this was a one-shot, but if you want to use these characters again, I'll figure out something and let you know if we want to play this again.
Yeah,
but I've got ideas.
I wouldn't mind playing it again. Yeah, I like that.
It was fun.
Thank you. Thank you all so much. That was very cool and very fun.
Yes.
And I can't believe it took 5 sessions to get through.
That's because we're stubborn.
Yeah, I'm sure if we had been doing, I don't know. It was fun, though. It was 5 fun-filled sessions. So,
yeah.
Plus, don't forget, we're only playing like 1.5 to 2 hours each time. So really, it only took 2.5 sessions of standard session length, because the average role-playing game session is about 4 hours.
Yeah. And most people leave their Christmas lights up until March, so it's fine.
There you go, yeah.
I like this game. I like it a lot.
Yeah. For those who are listening who know the source material, I don't know if we did it very good justice, but that's more on us than on you, O Games Master Extraordinaire, because I don't know about them. But other than seeing the Tintin movie, The Adventures of Tintin, I had not really been exposed to the adventure comics that are the inspiration for the game. So that's probably why I thought we were teenagers at one point.
Yeah. But that was a fun joke, though. I love that. I read the Tintin comics when I was a kid and a couple of others like that. But I will try and be better with the rules, and I will work on my pacing.
Oh, that's always tricky.
Yeah, you better, because we're going to be grading you on it next time.
And when you're in the GM chair, I don't know about you, but it always feels even worse when you're in the GM chair.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. It's different than the GM chair.
Whenever I run something, it always feels like the pacing is just way too slow. And you know, we're not getting enough people involved enough at that time.
Yeah, that I feel like I did that. Fortunately, there's 3 of you, so every time I felt that, I switched to another person. I feel like you guys were separate way too much. But again, that was more on me.
Well, I think we separated ourselves plenty too.
Yeah.
Just
it's
fine.
It's funny because I added some stuff to the adventure to fill in where it seemed like there were holes in the story, because you guys were going places that weren't covered in the scenario but made sense.
Mm-hmm.
And so I added some stuff to fill that in, and then I removed some stuff, like in theory, after you met Dr. Malvin, you were supposed to go back to her VW van to collect the positronic brain, but at that point, it didn't make sense to throw that in, so I just skipped it, put it in the chest.
Yeah.
So it was an interesting experience. I don't think I've done a pre-made module before. So,
oh, wow. They have their pros and their cons, like anything else.
Yeah, it was fun, though. I loved it, and I love the idea, and I like this world.
I'm going to go to bed now.
All right. Yep.
All right. Good night.
Yeah, I have to
thank
start
you,
dinner.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, one and all.
All right. Thanks again. Well, thank you.
And there you have it. I hope you enjoyed that. We sure did. And we have yet to come back to Troubleshooters, but not for lack of desire, just lack of actually doing. So maybe that'll be happening soon. One can hope. I honestly don't know. That's not some sort of veiled hint of things to come. It hasn't happened yet, but again, it's something that we would welcome if Zofar wants to run it. Or, heck, I supported the Kickstarter as well, so maybe I'll give it a shot myself. But anyway, we're not there yet, but here's hoping. Next time, we will be covering our Christmas adventure for this year, which was a game that I've wanted to run and or play for a very long time, called Hobomancer. It is by the wonderful folks at Hex Games. It uses Quags, which anybody who's listened to this podcast for any length of time knows pretty well, or at least has heard us play. Between this and the Gutter Skypes,
the Gutter Skypes,
we have covered Quags several times. So It's like welcoming an old friend. And we'll be doing that hopefully by Christmas. Like I said, I've got 5 days to edit that, and I'm going to do my best to get it done. So until then, I want to thank you for listening to Monkeys Took My Jetpack. I know we've been very sporadic in our content for quite some time, even when I've said we weren't going to be. What can I say? Life. It's not that we're pod fading, it's just stuff. So thanks for sticking with us, and if you're new, I hope you continue to do so, even if the content is less than regular. Having said that, this is Blind Geek thanking you for listening and reminding you that your imagination is just like a jetpack. You gotta keep it fired up, and always, let it soar!